What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 436 of the Action Movie Guys podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and my co-host is...
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are going to be wrapping up our Chuck Norris movie block. We no longer call them months because sometimes they're shorter than a month. This was only three. Yep. A block of Chuck Norris movies. We already watched Lone Wolf McQuaid and The Delta Force. And now we're at 1985's Code of Silence. Now, before I get into it and give you my little couple of fun facts and a Rotten Tomato score, Alex, had you ever seen this movie before this?
All right, first of all, I never heard of it and never even seen it. So this is a very interesting film. I'll say that.
Yes. Yes. I'm excited to talk about this one, which is something I can't say about the first two. I didn't really like the first two movies. I kind of hated Delta Force a little bit. No, I did hate it. And Lone Wolf McQuaid was not my jam. So I was like, great, here we go, Code of Silence. And so we're going to be talking about this one now. Let me give you some fun facts, because there are some interesting things about this movie. First of all, 1985. This is considered the movie that legitimized Chuck Norris's acting career, because at this point, he had only been in a lot of martial arts-like movies. So this is the first one where he's playing a cop, because this came out before the other movies that we did already.
Yeah.
So it was kind of the one that put him on the map as a not just a martial artist. Okay. Number two, this one's directed by the best director of the bunch so far. Andrew Davis directed this movie. And I know, just like off the name, he doesn't have like a name that's super, you know, memorable, because it's just Andrew Davis. However, he directed Above the Law, which we reviewed here on the channel. He directed Under Siege, which we reviewed and liked here on the channel. He directed The Fugitive with Harrison Ford, which we haven't reviewed yet, but is a very popular movie. A Perfect Murder in late 90s with Michael Douglas. And so, like, he's a director who's directed some stuff. It ain't like this is not an amateur guy or anything like that. So interesting that he's the guy who directed this. Two more, and the last one is the most interesting. Dennis Farina, who stars in this movie, you know him, I know him, everyone knows him at this point. He's been in so many movies. Big mustache. He was actually a real life cop, and this was the movie that made him decide to go to acting continually. And he's pretty good. Honestly, he seems the same in the movie, but I always liked him. But he was a real life Chicago cop. They casted him in this because they needed real life Chicago cops. And there you go. It launched an acting career. Code of Silence. Last, and this is the one that you're going to get a kick out of. The script for this movie was originally written as the fourth Dirty Harry movie. So this was actually supposed to be Dirty Harry going around doing this crap. I would assume in San Francisco instead of Chicago. But then over time it morphed. They changed the location and we got Chuck Norris instead of Clint Eastwood. So
I could totally see it. Now watching it, I could totally see it. I mean, it fits the narrative of Dirty Harry. I mean, now that you say it, the character is pretty much Dirty Harry, different version. So
even the way that like the sergeant guy yells at him, you know, you idiot, you freaking, you know, like that guy hates Dirty Harry too.
Yeah, but that one was funny though.
Yeah, it was funny.
He was yelling, and then he always had like a sarcastic remark.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't it Cusack? Cusack, you idiot. I was like, yeah, that's Dirty Harry. So I thought that was funny. When I read, I was like, you know what? I could literally see this same exact movie in San Francisco with Dirty Harry instead of Eddie Cusack. But Eddie, alas, Cusack. What we got was Cusack starring Chuck Norris. All right, I'm excited to talk about this one. There's a lot to talk about. Alex, you're going to get to go first here. You're going to tell us about our lead character. Of course, it is Chuck Norris playing Sergeant Eddie Cusack.
Yeah.
At least he has two names this time instead of just Scott or whatever it was last time.
Or Lone Wolf.
Yeah. What did you think of our boy Chuck Norris in this one?
All right, so Chuck Norris was actually pretty good in this movie. I'm not lying. All jokes aside, I thought he was really good. I still think he can't fight for shit. I don't know if you agree with me. I don't know if you agree with me on this. But in terms of action karate stars, like big guys, in this movie, I'm determined that he is not what we think he is. There's scenes that he is fighting a bunch of dudes, and I'm just like, and it looked funny, but we'll talk about it in action sequences. But in terms of Chuck Norris himself, I thought his acting was really good in this serious role, semi-serious role, but I thought it was really good. I love now that you talk about Dirty Harry, it is kind of a Dirty Harry character, but I do love the first thing that they did, and it got destroyed.
Baseball terms.
Yeah.
Left field, are you? There you got it. It's first
yeah,
base.
I thought that was pretty good. You know, it's a plot within the plot, because then they have also your boy from Home Alone. That he does the voice of you filthy little animal.
Oh yeah, I knew. I was like, bro, that's got to be the guy from the movie, The Angels with Dirty Faces or whatever.
Yes, that's him. Yeah, because I was watching it. My wife was like, "Isn't that the Home Alone guy?" I was like, "Yeah," but he has this distinct voice, so you already know it was him the minute he talks. So yeah, he's a character. He's a police officer that shoots a unarmed kid that pretty much was nosy because they were doing this sting operation and came out in the hallway, and the guy was just adrenaline kicked in and pretty much him. Yeah, he just blasted. I mean, he shot him twice, but I mean, he destroyed it and took a second gun from his leg and planted it on him, and that's one plot on its own. And then you have the one there after the mafia's daughter or something, because he did something.
Correct.
Yeah, so Clint Eastwood Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris, I did like him. Very loyal to his job. He's a very by the book lawman, you know, but he'll take everything down. He's the one man army that his partners call him. You know, I gave him a 4. I thought he was great. But it's funny because, like, now that you named the guy's filmography, I could kind of see all those films put into one in terms of the way he is shot. Like, Above the Law, it's same thing. He walks into a pool hall and he has to fight.
Above the Law. It looks similar.
Very. Honestly, I think the storyline is identical. Almost identical to Above the Law. If we really break it down. Two partners going after a guy, and he has to, you know, he's an Italian mobster. Like, it's so funny.
And then this one has, he was like, I don't know if he was like supposed to be Colombian or something. Henry Silva is the villain, but I don't know where he was. It was like the Italian mob and then like the
mafia.
Colombian mob. Mafia. Or something.
Yeah, it was like just Spanish. A Spanish mob. Yeah, because they did the Colombian necktie to a guy. Remember when he took like, out the thing?
You a Colombian necktie.
Looks yeah, like so I think he's like a Colombian drug lord or something like that, which
yes.
He looked better in this one than the other
movie.
He
was in Above the Law, too.
Yeah. That's why it makes sense. Now it makes fucking sense. I'm like, wait, am I catching deja vu with this guy? Yes. He fights him in the apartment and he's trashing him all over the place.
Above the Law. Yep.
Yes. I was like, oh my God. Yes. Now it makes sense. But I gave him a 4. We'll talk about villain, but 4. I gave him a 4. I thought he was great in the role.
Now this game, to be fair, this came out 3 years before Above the Law. So
I bet
Above the Law is a remake of Code of Silence, not the other way around. Okay, Chuck Norris, Eddie Cusack. You know what? This might be surprising to some people, but I actually agree with you. I like this character. This is probably the best character he's out of these three movies. Yeah. This is the best character because he is an actual character. He's not just army guy. Like, my problem with the Delta Force, he was army guy. That's it. There's nothing else. There's no other dynamics to him. There's no, you know, no backstory, no nothing. And in Lone Wolf McQuade, same crap. He's just like cop who wants to be left alone and bang that Mexican chick. Here, at least you get, okay, he has the partner. You know he's high up. He's a sergeant, right?
Yeah.
He's running a sting operation. It goes awry. His partner gets injured. He gets a new partner. And there's some stuff in storyline where we'll talk about that doesn't really work for me. But overall, he is an honorable cop. So that's where it's a little different than Dirty Harry. And it's not that Dirty Harry's not honorable, but he'll just do whatever he got to do.
Yeah.
Whereas Cusack is like, I am by the book. I won't lie. If someone else shoots somebody, he should go and get in trouble. He should. And so I like that. I like that dynamic. He's like honest all the way. And I always like when there's the cop that's like that, when everyone else is like willing to like sign the petition. Like, no, he didn't do it. He's innocent. He's like, I ain't signing that. I like that part. Where the guy comes to sign. He's like, I'll pass.
Yeah.
What do you mean? When you get a sign, he's like, no, he's an old drunk. I'm not signing that paper. Get away from me. When he's training his karate, when he's doing his karate training. So I like that part. But yes, I liked him. I like the character. He would have been a 5 if there was more
dynamic.
Yeah. Right? If they fleshed him, like if he had a family that he interacted with or something, it could have been a 5. The performance, so-so. Some of his line delivery is like very low. He's like talking really soft. I couldn't hear him. He's like, what are you going to get? He's going to get his guy. And I was like, what did you say? Like, speak up. but that's okay. Overall, we scored the character and I liked him. I thought he was good. So I'm with you. I actually gave him a 4. I like this guy. All right, villain. Now, the main villain, again, turns out to be Henry Silva's Luis Camacho. But this is a cop movie. So you got, like, mafia guys. You got Colombian drug lords running around Chicago. What did you think of the villain? Oh, and the cop that's kind of like, he's not a dirty cop, but he's, you know, he shoots the kid and he's willing to lie and to do all this stuff. That factors in as well.
I gave it a 3. I thought he was... Okay. It was weird with the villains, right? Because, first of all, this is why I like 80s movies in terms of the villains aspect. And maybe you might agree with me. When they go out to hit on somebody, they go full-fledged hit. Like, right? When they went to kill, they killed this dude's entire family. They went to the dude's house and just, like, I was like, holy, this is 80s movies at its finest, right? Because nowadays, when they do a movie and they're targeting someone, it's always that one person or whatever. Like, these dudes go the full-fledged to let you know that these dudes are taking down the bloodline. And I like that. I thought it was good. Formidable, yes. I thought it was good. Henry Silver, again, they didn't fight. And that's where I'm a little, you know, I always love that whole confrontation between good and evil.
Right.
We didn't get that. So I was just like, oh, that sucks. But he does get his ass whipped by Steven Seagal in 3 years later.
They make up for it later.
But in this one, I would say all the between the they were very formidable. They really killed a lot of people to get the message across that they were after this, you know, the daughter and they're killing the bloodlines and all that. And I did like the pool hall scene where he was fighting everyone and then he got his ass beat. So I thought that worked out very well. I like the sting operation. Again, it's very 80s, like the way it was shot and everything. But I don't know if it's gritty. Like, I don't know if there's things about the 80s that's very different now in terms of the grit of the filming. I don't know if that's what it is, but I kind of love that style of filming and I wish they brought it back to our modern storytelling. Like, it felt very like cops. Like, it just felt like real. Like, you know, he's a trash can guy and you see him and he's just like, he's like, you know, it's not obvious.
Yeah.
Like, and so I kind of like that. And they're like, wait, there's painters. And he was like, we gotta go in. And you see them going in. And then you see the dudes rip the thing down. And they shot everybody. And then they put a plank to go across. Like, I like that. And then, you know, I don't know. I thought it elevated the story. And you know, it's funny because I thought that guy died, which he didn't. The guy who was selling the cocaine. Mm. And later down the road, he's the one that Chuck Norris slammed his face on the thing.
He lived. He's like the only one. Everyone else got blasted.
Oh, everyone got blasted. Oh my God. Tell me that beginning sequence didn't have you laughing with the black guy. He was like, oh man, let me tell you something there, man.
Oh,
he was
like,
ooh, you want that good stuff, man.
Above the Law had a guy like that. What is this? Why are these movies like so similar?
Yes. That's right.
What if it was the same guy?
It could have been the same guy. You should hit his filmography.
Call them up like, hey, bro, I need you to come back.
We need the same actors. But yeah, like, he said, man, it's good stuff. My favorite part of that situation is when he goes in the building. Yeah. He said, why you always got to be touching me all over the place? He goes, you know I got no gun.
That's true. Yeah. And then he was with that guy, that ugly guy, that guy that was like putting the drops on the, you know what I got to do, man? This is the color I want. It's pink. That's how we can make a deal. And then he started talking like a black guy. I'm like, what is going on here?
I think he was in Above the Law also with a short hair.
I think this is just everyone was in Above the Law. And they subbed out Chuck Norris and Steven Seagal.
I agree with you. But anyway, in terms of the villains, I gave it a 3 in terms of villains.
I agree. Yeah, I have a 3 as well. I don't like Henry Silva as an actor.
He's not.
I'm not familiar with him. Now I've seen him for sure on this podcast in 2 movies, and I don't like him in either one. Like, I don't like the way he looks. He definitely looks like a bad guy, but like, he's kind of ugly and I don't like looking at him that much. So I'm not a fan. I think he's just whatever. At least in that one, he was like military and stuff like that. Here, he's like a kingpin kind of guy. And yeah, I think they were fine, though. There's a lot of them. You're right. They're ruthless. They shoot that old lady out of the back of that vegetable truck. I was like, no, what, she didn't even do anything. She just walks up, blast her.
She said,
I plant some tomatoes and then shoot her in the middle of the street. I was like, holy cow. So that was crazy. But yeah, I get what you're saying. And I think a lot of that, and I'll touch a little more on it and overall.
Yeah.
But I give a lot of credit to the director. Andrew Davis is good. Like what you were talking about, like the way the sting is set up and the it is gritty because he shot it that way. It definitely feels like a thriller, like a cop thriller pretty much. Yeah. So I agree with you there. And I think it works for the villains. They're a little over the top. Like these guys in the middle of broad daylight Chicago running down the street chasing people around. There are no cops. I've been to Chicago. I'm pretty sure I saw a lot of cops when I was there. Yeah. They're running in the middle of these alleys chasing this girl. She'd be like, help. No one's helping her. They stabbed that dude in the back in the middle of the sidewalk, which, I mean, hey, that could happen anywhere, I guess. But
yeah,
I just feel like some of it was a little silly. But again, you know, 80s movie, you take the good with the bad, I guess. And I wish they showed more with her dad. So, like, he's part of the Italian mafia. Chuck Norris talks to the guy who's, like, over him on the boat, the scene on the boat. I wish they delved a little bit more into the war between the Italians and the... That could have elevated both sides, but they don't. Not really, at least. Anyway, I give it a 3. I think they're fine. I don't really have, like, a major issue, but I wasn't, like, blown away by anybody either. They were okay. Okay, here we go. Action scenes. 80s action scenes. I don't know if we're going to be the same on this one or not, but what did you think of the action?
Oh, I loved it.
Wow, my asthma attack had to mute my mic.
Let me tell you something, brother. Oh, no. I did you with the Hulk Hogan. Okay, look, all jokes aside, this had one of the, I mean, if you guys are into cheese movies, this is cheesy all the way. I gave it a 4.
Okay.
I'm not giving it a 5. There's no way I'm stamping an approval on this one. There's a 5 for great. Yeah. I gave it a 4, and this is why. They had plenty of action, very copy action. Then they decided to bring in my man Ed 209 from RoboCop into the movie.
But in black.
And this is like a prototype of Ed 209. Like, all jokes aside, it didn't... It looks Ed 109. Like Ed 209. Yeah, Ed 109. Yeah, yeah. Before he got better. And I thought it was cool, but then I was like, damn, shit is kind of similar to RoboCop. Like, the same thing that you take a gun and you got to point it at someone and it speaks. It says, put your gun down. My favorite scene, because this is so 80s, is when the guy, he took his gun out, he points it at the guy, he was like, drop it, and the guy drops it, and the thing was like, thank you for your cooperation.
Like, oh, when Chuck demonstration behind the black guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like proving the point, like, you know, if anyone's operating it, I could just shoot you and this machine don't work. But anyway, I thought that was funny. But, you know, Chuck Norris does use it at the end of the movie. And I thought it was pretty cool. Stupid, but I thought it was
hilarious, bro. Why is he stealing that truck? Like, what is in there? And I totally forgot about the robot by that point. Yeah. I didn't remember it.
Well, it was kind of set up stupid too, right? Because like Ed 109 comes out, right? Mm-hmm. And well, by the way, it's not called Ed 109. Like, we're just calling it because that's what it looks like. Yeah. But anyway, comes out the machine, right? And you notice that they made the ramp so it could go up to make it look cool. They go down. But anyway, that sequence was actually pretty cool. And I ate it up. I was like, you know what? It was pretty cool. That's the only way Chuck Norris could kill all these bad guys and all that. Fine. Cool. The other scene that I texted you, my God, I had to text you.
And by the way, it's called The Prowler.
The Prowler. Okay. The Prowler. Yeah. The Prowler. I had to text you the minute this happened because I was like, this is gold. And this is like the best action scene I think I've seen in this podcast in a long time.
Oh, okay.
When these dudes were fighting on top of the train.
Oh, yeah.
And they dove into the Chicago River from the top of the train.
Well, I like when the first guy does it, and then Chuck Norris also is like, I guess he jumps right after him. Then he gets hit by a boat.
That shit was so funny because I never thought of it. And I saw the guy do it, and I was just like, oh, yeah, cool. And then Chuck Norris is like, might as well go join him. And the train is super slow. It's not even fast. It's going super slow for them to jump off.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Dude, I laugh so hard. I was like,
I've been on that train when I went to Chicago. I've been on that train. You know what's funny? I thought it was... I'm sorry. I don't know.
No.
Okay. I had a feeling that's what you were talking about because I hadn't watched it yet when you texted me. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait. Let's see if I can catch it. That scene I thought was cool because it was actually two guys fighting on a train. Slow or not, it's up. Like, I like the way they shot it, but they're also fighting really slow. They're like... going like this, and they're like wrestling each other. Then he helps him up, and he punches him, and then he fight, and then he helps him up, and he punches him again. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, this fight is hilarious. Yeah, you're right. Cool stunt though. I do like the jump off of it. That was pretty cool. Okay, action. You hit the nail on the head with pretty much everything you said. This is actually a mix of pretty good action and real stupid, cheesy action. I like the bar fight that you mentioned earlier, where it's like one versus 1,000. And they finally figured it out in the last 10 seconds. Like, if we all just grab him, he can't hit us. But they like keep doing that thing of like they're trying to fight him one-on-one. And, you know, he's jacking him up. He's just doing his karate punches and kicks. There's one part where he kicks three guys at once, flips them over, he throws the other guy into them and all this stuff. I even like when they first grab him, he's still kicking people. Like, they grab his arms, he's like, he's kicking people in the face. That was pretty funny. I like that. I like the train scene. I thought it was well done. I like the opening, the heist like gone bad with the machine guns and they're shooting from the other apartment. I was like, okay, this movie's pretty good. Honestly, I was like, this movie's pretty good. And then that robot comes out. And I was like, what the heck? And the funny thing is, last episode, I read the back of the case to you and I read about the robot, but I forgot when I actually sat down to watch it. And I was like, why is there a, what is that? And they're like, this is the greatest technology. Whatever. Now, my favorite scene. This is the part that made me laugh the most is at the end. Okay, so you have this big finale. Chuck Norris steals the truck with the Prowler in it. He loads it. He drops down the thing. Prowler comes out. He got the little remote control like TV. It's like a TV box, pretty much. It looks like the monitors from WWE where they're like on top of the things like a tube.
Yeah.
But it has like little remote controls. Okay. So he's outside. First, he's shooting people with it. And I'm like, okay, you know what? This is stupid, but it looks cool. Like, it's blowing people up and they're flying everywhere. Then he takes out a little rocket launcher and they don't show him shoot it, but they show him have it. And then they show an explosion. And this is where my best favorite part comes in. My man Chuck Norris walks in to the big, like, to the door. All the bad guys are standing there just watching him. And in one hand, he has a gun, like a shotgun.
Yeah,
which I like the shotgun, by the way. He has a shotgun. And in the other hand, he's just holding that TV monitor thing, like the remote control for the... And it does not look cool. I think they thought it was going to look cool, but he's got this giant box. He's holding it like tough. And I'm like, oh my God. I started laughing so hard. I was like, that look... Then he props it up on this thing. He's like, pushes the buttons. And then the Prowler comes in and he's doing it. And then he has the shotgun. Now, I will say, I wanted to hate this. And I kind of liked it. I'm not going to lie. I kind of liked it. I was like, you know what? This is really dumb. But it's well... It's like stupid, but it's well done. Like, it's well executed. If you're going to have a stupid robot, at least play it straight. And they play it completely straight. It's blowing people up. The shotgun is awesome. He's blasting people with the shotgun. I gave it a 4 as well. And I can't believe it. But I was like... And it would have got a 3 if not for the finale. Because there's not a lot of action through a lot of it. It's like a cop movie. But that big finale pushed it over the one point when he walks in with the remote control handle in his hand. Like, if it would have been 2 guns, it would have been better. But it's not. It's a box. So,
well, remember when they were fighting in the pool hall and the guy grabbed the 9-ball and threw it and hit him in the head?
That was hilarious. He said, he hit him in the back of the head. And he gets like dizzy or whatever. Yeah, I like that. See, you know what, though? That's funny. Like, I feel like that's real. If there would be a fight, someone would throw a ball at your head. So, shout out to Andrew Davis being like, what would really happen here? I know. That guy would throw a pool ball at the back of your head. I like that. Okay, 4 and a 4. Storyline.
I got to say it.
Okay.
I kind of enjoyed this movie. Out of all the movie, like, Delta Force to me, like I said, nostalgia-based. You know, I enjoyed it for what it was as a kid. But if we had to stack up these 3 films together, this one had the better storyline out of the 3. And I was kind of into the storyline when they killed his friend that was protecting her, the girl. I was kind of tired of, well, Chuck Norris was going to go bug wild on you dudes, right? Him supposedly betraying the cause, which the force didn't know what was going on, that the guy planted the gun on the little kid because he killed him, right? And it was siding with him. So it felt a little bit like Saw 9 with Spiral. Remember when he was calling for backup and they were all making excuses? A dog is loose, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want to help him out. And you know, Nate, I was actually into the film. Like, and it's funny that we're laughing and stuff. Is it cheesy? Absolutely. 80s cheese all over the place. But one thing 80s does good too, they have good storylines. And we do 90s, we do 2000s action, we do, you know, even modern present day action, right? And sometimes they lack in story. Some of them have good story. Some of them not well known. Some of them are hidden gems.
Yep.
I will say with this movie, and it's weird to say, but this one had an entertaining story. Now you're telling me this is a Dirty Harry number 4. I could totally see it now finishing watching. I'm like, yeah, I could totally see it. I might like Dirty Harry in the role too, watching this movie. Maybe it would have been different. Who knows?
Dirty Harry showed up with a little remote control box.
Oh, I would have
lost my mind.
Yeah, I would have been, this shit is crazy.
Yeah. He's like, Clint Eastwood with a remote control.
With his angry face. Yeah. And then knowing him, because remember, he was like racist throughout the whole Dirty Harry.
He goes after all the black people first.
Yeah. That was the whole thing that we were laughing that he was always racist, but not really. But anyway, I enjoyed the story. I thought it was really cool. They were going after this girl. I thought it was cool. I thought it was messed up. My jaw dropped when the guy blew the kid away. Because I was like, damn, we're going here. Like, I didn't know that. And they planted the thing. I was like, oh, this dude is a douche. I was really invested in it. Now, with that said, will it reflect on my score? Honestly, it will. Because I'm going to give it a 4. I think it's a great storyline. Cheesy, yes. I mean, you could go with a 3 or a 4 because it's still a good movie regardless, but I'm going to give it his kudos because shocking enough, I did enjoy the movie at the end. So I give it a 4.
Yeah. Well, you said it and I'm the other way, but I give it a 3.
Yeah.
But it's more so, I agree with you. I agree with pretty much everything you said. My only issue and what kept it from me is I think there was a lot of unnecessary stuff in the plot as well.
Yeah.
For example, I don't even think this movie needed the whole subplot with the guy that shot the kid.
No.
And it does nothing. It literally adds nothing. You know, I think the point was that they were just trying to show that this guy's a good cop, but there's other ways to do it that don't take up, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of screen time. Like they literally go to court. And they're doing testimonies. And I'm like, this scene is ultimately pointless. Like, it doesn't really mean anything in the grand scheme. So that's one reason. And there's another scene in this movie that is pointless. I don't even know why it's in this. When the two dudes show up and stick up the bar and it's full of the cops.
Oh, that was...
It was dumb. Like, it was just... I guess it was maybe for humor, but like it was a dumb scene and it didn't mean anything. Like it didn't lead to anything. It didn't. What was the point? So that's the only reason I'm going to mark off a little bit, because there was some like filler. I think if this was maybe 10, this was only an hour 40, but it was like a tight 90 without that subplot, I probably would have been with you with a 4. Also, I think they could have done a little bit better job fleshing out the two gangs.
Yes.
Or let's say take the 10 minutes of that stupid subplot and put it there, you know, with the Italians versus the Colombians or wherever they're from. It could have been great, but as it is, it's good. I agree. I do think it's good. I was into the story. And it's one of those movies where at the beginning, like as it's going, you're like, what's going on? Yeah. But then by the end, it all makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, this dude's family was part of the mob. He's holding the girl hostage to get to the dad, and they want the dad, and then ultimately they get killed in a car accident anyway. Like Chuck Norris ends up that car chase scene was good. I forgot in action.
That was really good.
Scene was good. They're going fast. Yeah. They're driving fast. I like that. I gave it a 3. You gave it a 4. I think it's a good storyline. I do. I just think there was some filler that I was like, whatever. Okay, what's your overall?
Okay, so overall, I mean, we're praising it, so I'm going to give it a 3. Overall, this is a good movie. It's a good Chuck Norris movie. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Chuck Norris. Like I said, Delta Force, because of nostalgic reason, but I got to say, Code of Silence would be my second. Like, I don't watch much Chuck Norris. Like, even if you would say, oh, let's do this other, I'll be like, okay, we never seen it before. I enjoy to watch it. But, I mean, there was another one that my dad used to like, too, called Firewalker. With him and it was a black guy, bald. Oh, Louis Gossop Jr.
Oh, Louis Gossop.
Is it Louis Gossop Jr.? It's like an adventure story. He used to laugh at it. It's like an action adventure type story. Maybe we could do it in an action adventure month. Maybe it's something that you might enjoy. 80s. It's like a Uncharted. But with Chuck Norris and Louis Gossop Jr. But yeah, I remember he liked it a lot. I remember seeing it as a kid, so I don't even remember it. But I remember enjoying it because it was really funny and cool set designs and all that. But yeah, I thought it was I gave it a 3. I thought it was a good movie.
I agree. I gave it a 3. I was shocked.
And you hate Chuck Norris.
I was having a horrible time with these first two movies. I was like, oh no. But once I saw when the movie started and I saw it directed by Andrew Davis, I said, wait a second. I like this guy. I like this director. And then you got Dennis Farina popping up. I'm like, I like this actor. And I like that. And I like this. And I, you know what I love? I love movies that are shot on location. and they shot this in Chicago. You got a lot of Chicago. Like, you know, I think Hollywood, for the most part, does a pretty decent job with, like, faking, you know, like, locations. You're like, oh, this is New York, but it's really Hollywood. Or yeah. This is, you know, and it's Toronto. But I just love when they film on location, do stunts on location. And so, yeah, it's very Chicago. Chuck Norris is actually good in this for the most part. You know, his line delivery, you know, needed a little help, but overall he fit the role pretty well. Good story, interesting, entertaining, not too long, not amazing though. You know, definitely got that cheese. If the robot wasn't in it, it probably would have lowered the action score, but it would have made it less cheesy. So, you know, there could have been that. This could have been just played completely straight. I think it would have been just a touch better. As it is, I gave it a 3 as well.
Oh, by the way, so the movie is called Firewalker with Louis Gossett Jr., Chuck Norris. It's a pair of adventurers try to track down an ancient Mayan Egyptian gold. Like, it could be something that it's funny, though. I would have
never thought of Chuck Norris in an adventure movie like that.
Yeah, so you might like it. It has John Rhys Davies, the guy who played Gimli.
Oh, okay. That's Indiana Jones.
Yeah, he's in it. There's some other people you might know. So, yeah. So, anyway.
Okay. You know what? Just for this, you know, this was just the first Chuck Norris block. Maybe we'll do another. I know he has Missing in Action, which is a franchise. So we may have to do
Invasion USA. That was another big one of his.
Yeah. So, but as it is, this was my favorite of these three by far. It wasn't even close. What was your total points for this one?
My total points is 18 out of a 25.
Ah, we're close. I have a 17 out of a 25. So pretty close. A solid movie. I feel like if you watch this and Above the Law, it would make a good double feature back to back. Just,
yeah.
You know, the two guys who can't act that good who do different styles of karate in Chicago crime movies. I'm into it. All right. I did like Above the Law. That movie was good. Okay. Coming up, new franchise, new theme block to go along with it. Now that we're done with Chuck Norris, we will be starting the G.I. Joe franchise. So that'll be G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, G.I. Joe Retaliation, and Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins. To pair along with that, you know, the first G.I. Joe movie has a scene that I always remember hating. And the reason I hate it, and we've talked about it on this podcast, Alex, is because it has an entire scene, an action scene that's underwater. And you know me, water action just pisses me off. So what are we doing? Water action movies. To pair along with G.I. Joe, we're going to the high seas and maybe some lakes or something. I don't know. We're going to be in the water. We're going to be doing Water World, a movie that is a notorious Hollywood production. Okay, we're going to be doing a little Battleship directed by our boy, Peter Berg, and starring Liam Neeson and John Carter, Rihanna. So we're doing a little Battleship. And then we will wrap it up with an underwater submarine movie called U-571. Have you ever seen U-571? No? Okay. This was I want to say late 90s, maybe like 99. Could have been 2000, but Matthew McConaughey is in it. It's like a war movie. I don't remember it, but I know I've seen it, but I don't remember it. So that's what we're going to be doing. Waterworld, Battleship, U-571 to go along with the G.I. Joe movies.
Okay. Wow. Very interesting. Now, Waterworld, there's like few cuts of it. Which one are we doing?
Okay. For Waterworld, let us review the theatrical cut, TV cut, Ulysses cut. Let's go with the theatrical cut. Let's go with that. The other ones are like 3 hours long. So theatrical cut is 135 minutes. Mm-hmm. TV cut's 176 and Ulysses cut is 178. So let's just
Does it say the difference between those? Like on the box?
Yes. The Ulysses cut was an extended European version that had previously censored shots and dialogue. The TV cut, which is 40 minutes longer than the theatrical cut, it's just an extended version. And then the theatrical. I think for this movie, just because of its sort of notoriety, theatrical would be the way to go anyway.
Right.
Because that's the one that came out and failed. Now, maybe down the line, if we ever do those re-reviews or something, we'll do the other one. But for now, we'll just go straight theatrical.
No, that's fine. I remember back in the day, TV cuts were huge because that's what promoted movies. Like, that's why Superman is a 3-hour cut of Superman, Christopher Reeves. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, they added a lot more, which Richard Donner hated because he was like, those scenes that they cut out, they put in the movie because he didn't want those in the
Yeah, there's a reason they were cut usually.
Yes. And that's what he said. There was, yeah, there's the reason why he got rid of it, because he was like, it wasn't good. But they added it there and they added more scenes. But anyway, all right, guys, you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts? Please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/action movie guys. Subscribe, leave comments on your favorite episodes. And of course, you could take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. And of course, you can follow us in our social media accounts, Geek Stiletter and Flicks on TikTok, Instagram. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.